Hello, my name is Todd Baginski. My team and I built the property management code sample for Microsoft. In this series of videos, I'm going to walk you through the Android Repair app. In the first video in this series, I demonstrated how to create an Android application from scratch, add the Office 365, ADAL, and LiveAuth references to the gradle.build file, and how to use ADAL and LiveAuth to authenticate to Office 365. I also demonstrated how the Office 365 Connect sample for Android may be used to quickly allow you to get started authenticating and calling Office 365 services from an Android application. I walked through how the Android Repair app authenticates to Azure Active Directory and demonstrated how we use the Access token to work with the List client, Graph Service client, and OneNote API client, as well as the Office 365 video portal. Finally, I demonstrated how we access list items and documents from SharePoint document libraries, and then hopped over to show you how the Graph API is used to access group members and group conversations from Office 365 groups. In this video, I'm going to show you how to access Office 365 group files and group notes, as well as how to send email via the Office 365 Graph API or the native Android email functionality. I'm also going to show you how you can integrate deep links into your Android applications to open native Android Office apps. Finally, I'm going to show you how to use the APIs associated with the Office 365 video portal to return videos from the portal and how to upload videos to the portal as well. Let's get started. In addition to accessing members and conversations, we also access files inside of the Office 365 groups. Again, in the Incident Detail Activities class, we use a group fetcher that allows us to call the getFiles method on the Graph API to return the files associated with an Office 365 group. Let's go back into Android Studio to see how this is done. Before we jump into the code to see how we get the files back, let's take a look at what they look like once we do have them back in the Repair app. The Recent Documents tab and the Property Files tab both return files from the Office 365 group. If I click the Recent Document tab, you can see I'm now making the call through the Graph API to return the files. Here I can see the files listed in the OneDrive associated with the Office 365 group. You can see we have the file name, who last modified it, when they did it, the size of the file, and in the case of an Office document like a docx or an xlsx file or a pptx file, we also render a button that allows us to open it directly inside of the native Android Office application that will allow us to look at it with that full functionality of the native app. I'm going to get more into how we register these deep links later in this video series. If we click on the item right here, it will take us to the web browser and it will allow us to go straight to that document inside of Office 365. I've typed in my credentials because I haven't authenticated in this emulator session before, and I'll authenticate myself, and now I'll be redirected to the original URL I was trying to get to. And now we're looking at the OWA version of that particular file inside of our Office 365 Unified group. You can see this one is called the OResidence here. If I head back to the application now, we can see that there is also the other part that I talked about where there's the property files view of the files. So the recent documents view is all the documents that have been modified in the last 7 days. So I will show you how our query makes sure we're only returning those items. And then the property files shows us a list of all the files associated with this unified group's OneDrive. And so here you can see we have some additional files we weren't seeing before. For example, this PowerPoint file, and I can click that file here, open the web browser. I've already been authenticated, and now it's just going to render that in PowerPoint Online for me. I can also come back to the application one more time, and we can take a look at an Excel file, for instance, here. And here inside of our Excel file, we will see this rendered in the OWA interface as well. So this is a really nice way to do integration straight with the out-of-the-box capabilities of Office 365 Online to allow us to go straight from an app we write and dig right into the OWA interface so that we can look at that file and work with it within the web browser. That one's taken a little while to come up, so I'm just going to move on here. Other things to note is when we do not have an Office document, we've set this up such that if we click on a text document, for example, which is not an Office document, it's going to take you straight to the web browser, and it's going to just use however the web browser works to render that file. So in this case, all I had was the text test 2 and that text file, and it'll render that. This also works just fine for images as well. If we find one here, this is an image file. Get to the chopper. See, so here we have an example of rendering my favorite action hero, Arnold and Predator, as an image file, and that works well too. So as you can see, you have a lot of different integration you can work with here to handle all kinds of different files from the app you write. Again, I'm in the Incident Detail Activity class. The Get Group Files method is the method that will actually go out and return our files from Office 365. Again, we use the Group Fetcher. This is the class that allows us to interact with the Office 365 group that is associated with this incident, and we call the getFiles method on it. That's all we have to do, and it returns us all of the files. After we have the files back, we can set up our file model, and we can pass in different properties on that to set the title, the URL, a way to formulate the OWA URL that uses the web URL, the name of the file, and the e tag. If we take a closer look at this one, you can see here that this property is actually creating the URL that allows us to open those files in OWA, like you saw me do just previously here in our demo. In addition to that piece of the puzzle, after we get the group files back, we have to process. Oh, I'm in the wrong class here. Here we are. After we get the files back and we add them to our model, then we're going to check if we were loaded on the page that shows us all the documents or just the recent documents. So Get group bind group file here, this one is going to return all of the files and bind them up to the user interface. So as you can see here, our file adapter is really just going through and binding those various items up. But we talked about the recent documents tab as well. And so in our recent documents tab here, I have to process the collection of files that came back, right, like this, to see if they were modified in the last 7 days. And if they were modified by checking the last modified date in the last 7 days, then I am going to add them to the collection before I pass them to my document adapter to bind them to the screen. The reason I have to do it on the client here is because at this point in time, the Graph API does not include the ability for me to pass in filter parameters that are based on date time. And so that's why we have to get them all back and then do our filtering down here once we get to the client. But again, as you can see, this is very simple. It all comes down to just the get files off of our group fetcher, which returns us all the documents, and then we can do with them as we wish in our application. Let's jump on to the next piece of the puzzle now. The patterns we've seen so far have been pretty simple to return items from the Office 365 groups. However, the pattern to work with the OneNote notebook associated with an Office 365 group is a little more involved. Again, we start in the Incident Detail Activity class. First, we call Get Notebook Authentication, which in turn is going to call into Get Group Notebooks after we are authenticated. Then we move into the Get Group Notebook Site Collection in the File Helper class. You see this at the bottom of the screen. This allows us to invoke the Get Group Notebook ID, which we will use to determine the ID associated with the OneNote notebook that we want to access. At this point, we jump back into the Incident Detail Activity class, where we call Get Note, which in turn calls Get Notebooks. After we have the notebooks, then we can return the different sections in the notebook, and finally the pages from the notebook by calling the Get Notebooks, Get Sections, and Get Pages methods you see on this page. It's quite a mouthful, but it does make a lot of sense once we jump into the code. So let's head back into Android Studio now and walk through this part of the process. Again, I'm back inside of the Incident Detail Activity class. And when the user clicks on the button to show the notebooks, I'm going to invoke the Get Group Notebook Authentication class. Before I jump into this long chain of code that's used to get our OneNote notebook back, let's take a look at what it looks like inside of the user interface. First thing I'll do is click the Notes tab, and that would have fired the function I just talked about. At this point, I'm going to go authenticate to OneNote inside of my Office 365 group. I'm going to return the notebook associated with that particular group. Then I am going to find the section in that notebook that correlates to this property. And then I'm going to find the page inside of that section that correlates to this particular incident. And so here we can see we have one page associated with incident 16 here. If I click this link, I can open it in the web browser. If I click this link, I can open it in the OneNote native application. So I'm going to click the link now to open this up inside of our OneNote that we can access via the web browser. So we'll load up the web browser here and look at our OneNote online. And you will notice that we again are in the O Residence, working with the O Residence notebook. And here we have incident 16. This is the ID of the incident under the hood. We use this naming convention with the brackets on either side of the incident so that we can locate the particular page we're looking for. If we expand this here, we can see that inside of this particular notebook, inside of this notebook here, we have many different incidents that have been reported, and we can browse from one to the other to look at that particular information. So let's see how we pulled off this integration inside of the Property Management Repair app. So this method here, Group Notebook Authentication, this is the first method that is fired when we click the Notes tab. If we come down to this method, we can see again we use the Authentication Helper to acquire a token. And then what we're going to do after we have that token is call Get Group Notebook Site Collection. Inside of Get Group Notebook Site Collection, we are now going to be bouncing over here to this other method. And this method is essentially going to call Get Group Notebook ID. Inside of Get Group Notebook ID, right here, you can see we are going to call get group notebooks after we're successful. So the group notebook ID is retrieved by calling get group notebook ID inside of our file helper class. So if I go over to bounce over to this one, here you can see what we are doing is using the REST API to access OneNote in Office 365. We're using the same pattern we've used before, where we use the OKHTTP client to pass in the URL that we've constructed here. And this is the REST API call that we are going to use to retrieve our notebook ID based on the group name that we pass in. We again pass in the token on the authorization header, and when we get that response back, now we have our notebook ID. Once we have the notebook ID, we're then able to return the notebooks for the group. This is where we use our OneNote API client that we instantiated in the authentication helper, and I showed you how that works in the authentication part of this video series. We're going to make a notes fetcher class here that will allow us to retrieve notes from that notebook. And then we're going to make a notebook fetcher by calling the get notebooks and passing in that notebook ID. So now we have our actual notebook that we're working with here. After we've returned the notebook that we're interested in, you can see here we're filtering on the name equal to the property ID that comes from our the property associated with this incident. Then we can proceed to filter further. We get that value back, and then we return a list of sections in the notebook. After we return the sections in the notebook, we can filter them down to the incident ID associated with this particular incident we're looking at in the application. Notice here we have those brackets and then the incidents ID in the middle, which allows us to locate that particular page inside of, or that particular section, pardon me, and page inside of the notebook. So we have the pages now, and as we parse through the pages inside of the notebook, we can now grab the title for the page and the web URL that allowed us to click through it in the application and open it inside of the web browser. So if we move these up to the top here, as we see as we dug down all the way to the individual page we were looking at, and we head back to our repair app, the incident ID 16 here is the title for that page, and the link under the hood, which launched it in the web browser, is that value right there. So that's how you get all the way down into the point where you're interrogating information at the page level inside of a OneNote notebook. The next thing we do via the Graph API is sending email. The Email Helper class contains the function sendEmail, which allows us to use the Graph API to send an email through Exchange in Office 365. Let's go back to Android Studio one more time and take a look at how this is done. Sending emails can be done in a couple different ways. The way the application is currently wired up, the send email function here in the Incident Detail Activity class uses the out-of-the-box Android capabilities to send an email. For example, if I come back to the application and I click Email Dispatcher here, this is going to attempt to open up the native send email activity associated with my Android device. Because I do not have this emulator configured to send email, we just see that it says send email up here at the top. Had I configured email on the emulator or been running this on a real device, I would be prompted with a list of applications that are capable of sending email. To send email in this fashion, All we have to do is write this intent code here and fill out our subject and the text to send our email, and it will pre-populate the email with that information as well as to who this email goes to. If you wish to send the email through the actual API instead of having one of the applications installed on your Android device do that, you can look in the email helper class. You'll notice that this method here is actually never used in our application, but we did put it here so you can see how this is done. In this case, we're going to get back our authentication context and require acquire a token for the Graph API. After we do that, then what we will do is actually invoke a post request, attach that token to the bearer and the header for our authorization, set the content type and the accept headers as well, and then go forward and process sending the email with this type of code approach as well. So there's two different ways to do that, as you can see here, and it's really up to you whichever one you choose to use. Either way, it's very simple to send email from an Android app through Office 365. At this point, we've covered all the APIs associated with accessing SharePoint data, Office 365 group data, as well as using Exchange to send email. The next piece of the puzzle in the application is understanding how we use deep links to open native Android Office applications. Deep linking native Android Office applications is supported for Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. A deep link is another way to say, how do I open these applications directly from the native Android application I am creating? The article on the screen here about URI schemes describes the schemes that you need to know in order to open these applications with a deep link. The Integrate with Office from Android Applications MSDN article, also linked on this page, provides you more details on how this is done. Inside of the repair application in the Property Management Code sample, we open native Office applications written in Android. We do this inside of the Group File Adapter class. If you look inside of the getView method, in particular in the right panel.setOnClickListener method, you will see how we are opening up Word, Excel, and PowerPoint depending on the type of document that is being displayed in the list. If you'd like to see how we open up OneNote, look in the Group Note Adapter class. Again, in the getView method, this time in the open in OneNote.setOnClickListener, you will see how OneNote is opened via a deep link. Let's jump into the code and take a closer look. Here I am inside of the Group File Adapter class. This is the class that will actually bind up the files to our user interface. The part that we use to work with the deep links starts here, where we set the Office app name string. Here, as we loop through each document that is bound up, we look at this document and we see if its title ends in .docx, .pptx, or .xlsx. And if it does, we set the Office app name to Word, PowerPoint, or Excel. Then we generate the links and drop the different icons on the page that allows us to open these documents in the native Android Office applications. That's also how we do the open in OneNote here. But if I come back to the recent documents, I can see here this one is open in Word, this one is open in Excel, and if we look at the property files, we have the non-filtered item of open in PowerPoint as well. Now, there are instructions in the README which talk about how you can add the OneNote APK file to your emulator. So right inside your emulator, you can click these links and open it straight up in that native OneNote app. However, we've tried doing that with Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and we haven't had any success. And so I've tested this on my native Nexus, or not native, on my real Nexus 7 Android device, and it works perfectly. But I'm not able to show you that here inside of my emulator. You're just going to have to take my word for it. When you click these, it opens up the appropriate app and opens that file. If you haven't logged in yet to those apps, it'll ask you to log in before it displays the file. But after you do, it displays the file just fine. So after a user clicks on those particular items, that's when this on-click listener is going to go into work. The first thing it's going to do is it's going to check that Office app name value that we set. And it's going to say, does it equal to Word or PowerPoint or MS Excel as we, or if neither one of those, then set it to MS Excel. This MS-Word PowerPoint, or pardon me, MS-PowerPoint and MS-Excel here values, these values get put into the URL schema we create. And then it gets tacked on with colon OFV pipe U pipe. And then the URL associated with those files where they are stored in the Office 365 OneDrive. After we create that URI, we can create a new intent and set it equal to an action view and pass in that URI. Basically, what that means is this URI has formulated our deep link so that when the user clicks on it, it figures out which type of document they clicked on in this line. It formulates the deep link in this line, and then it launches that deep link to open it in those particular Office applications native to Android with those two lines of code right there. So it's very cool functionality, and it's also, as you can see, very easy to implement once you understand how it is done. Now I'm going to jump over to the Group Note Adapter class and show you how we create the deep links for OneNote. In this scenario, on this page where this adapter class is used, we only have one type of Office document we're trying to open up. So we don't have to do the part where we set up the type of Office document by looking at the file extension. We just need to work with the set on click listener again. Again, this is the code that we use to formulate the URI to open it up in OneNote. It's merely OneNote colon and then the path to the file. Then we set that for the intent, and we start the activity with that intent. And at that point, it will open up the native OneNote client if it is installed on the emulator or in the physical device, and it will navigate to that URL to open up that OneNote notebook. So that's all it takes to integrate your deep links with OneNote. There's one more API we haven't touched on yet, and that's the Office 365 Video Portal API. The Video Portal API is used in the Android Repair app to access channels and videos. In the Incident Detail Activity class, you will find the Get Video method. This method returns the videos from the Office 365 Video Portal that are associated with the incident currently being repaired. The File Helper class has many methods in it which support working with the Office 365 Video Portal REST API. Get Channel Videos is going to return all of the videos for a given channel in the Office 365 Video Portal. Get Channel URL will return the URL associated with a given channel in the Office 365 Video Portal. To upload a new video to the Office 365 Video Portal, the Create Video Placeholder method is first invoked. This method creates an item inside of the Office 365 Video Portal that has all the metadata about that particular video. The upload video method relies on the get bytes method to actually Return the byte stream associated with a video that has been recorded on the Android device. The upload video method then attaches that particular byte stream array to the video placeholder that was created inside of the video portal. So it's a two-step process to actually upload the video. First, you create the video placeholder item, and then you upload the byte stream associated with the video so that the actual video and the moving picture itself is now uploaded to the Office 365 video portal. Let's go back to Android Studio one last time and take a look at what this code looks like. Okay, the last piece of the code puzzle is the Office 365 video portal. And so I'm going to talk to you here about the code that we use to get the videos back and how we upload new videos as well. The get video method here inside of the incident detail activity class is going to invoke the get channel videos from the file helper class. Here I'm passing in the token that we retrieved when we clicked the sign in button, and I'm passing in the ID for the selected incident that the user is working with. If we go to the definition on the channel videos class here, we can see how we use the Office 365 Video Portal REST API to return the videos. So the first thing we need to do is we need to actually return the channel associated with the videos we wish to return, and we're going to call get channel URL to do so. We're going to pass in that token we got when we click the sign in button. In the get channel URL method, first we use the constant for the video resource URL. We haven't looked at that one yet, so let's take a look. This here is the site collection that corresponds to the video portal in our Office 365 tenancy. Jump back into get channel URL, there we go. Then we tack on the string that allows us to make the REST API call. And here you can see we attach to the video service channels, and we set the filter for the title is equal to the video channel name. The video channel name is incidents. We are putting all of our incident videos that are recorded up into the incidents video channel inside of the Office 365 video portal associated with our tenancy. After we've formulated that URL, we can again use the OKHTTP client to make a new request to invoke that REST API. Again, we attach the token to the authorization bearer in the header, and we get our response back, and we parse our response, and eventually we pull out the ID associated with that item, and that returns our channel URL. So after we have our channel URL back, what we can then do is we can go return the videos for that channel. So we're going to take the channel URL and put WAC videos on the end of it for our next REST API call with this URL here. Again, OKHTTP client makes our HTTP request. We pass in that URL, set our headers appropriately, and execute the call. When we get the call back, we're then going to parse through each item in that particular response, and we're going to pull back the thumbnail URL and the Yammer object URL and the title URL. And that will give us the collection of videos that we have returned from the REST API. What does that look like inside of the app? Well, if we come back to the app here and we go up to the incident details, we select comments, photos, and videos, which I've already done. Here we can see that we have returned one of our videos from the video portal and we added it to this list. When I click the video, it's going to open the web browser and take me to the page that displays that video. Sometimes this page takes a little while to load, So I've already preloaded it in this page here, and I'm just going to bounce over to that one and show it to you. So here we can see the video associated with this incident, and I can play this video and watch it right here inside of the web browser as well. So that's how we do the video download in of operations. The next piece of the puzzle is how we go about uploading a video. Now, uploading a video is a more involved process, as I mentioned, and you may have seen me walk through the code if you watched the provisioning video series that I created for this code sample, where we walk through that code and how it's done in ASP.NET. Let's take a look at how we do it in Java here. So the first piece of the puzzle is for us to create a video placeholder. So when a user records a new video and they wish to upload it, they do that within the application back here on the same page where we listed the video. So here, if I go to record and I click that button, it's going to ask me if I want to take a picture or if I want to record a video, and then after I record it, it just automatically uploads it. I haven't had any success getting the emulator to actually take a video and upload it. However, on a native device, the code works just fine. So here's what the code looks like. The create video placeholder is the first thing we do. We take that channel URL and we return the videos here. And then what we're going to do is we're going to make a new JSON object that is going to make this video placeholder item inside of the video portal. So we need to set it as an SP video or sp.publishing.video item. We're not giving it a description here. You could. We set a title for it. We set it to incident repair video underscore, and then we put in that bracket where we put our incident ID inside of it. This allows us to locate it inside of the video portal. Right now, there's no way to assign meta tags to videos in the video portal. That's why we've chosen to use this naming convention in the title so we can associate videos with incidents. Next thing we'll do is we'll take the file name and we'll set that as well. And then another instance of our OKHTTP client that is going to make our post method, our post request here, set our access token, set the accept and the content type in the header as well, and post the actual request. And then when we get it back, we're going to have the ID associated with that placeholder item we've created for the video. After we do that, then we can invoke upload video. Upload video is going to take in the token, the incident ID, the name of our video, the byte array that actually holds the content for the video itself, and then we're going to build out the URL string that we will use to upload that video. So that is going to be the video ID followed by git file save binary stream. We need to set the media type equal to video MP4 in this case because that's the encoding type it was created with when you use the Android device to record a video. Again, set our token in the authorization header and make our post. Once we've done that post, at that point, then we have now taken the actual data associated with the video itself, associated it with the placeholder item based on the ID, and now the full video is available inside of the Office 365 video portal. You'll also notice that we have a getBytes method down here, and this is used as a helper method that allows us to return the byte array associated with the video that has been recorded on the device. If you'd like to learn more information about the Property Manager code sample or the repair app, I recommend you check out the following sessions from Build 2015. The first session, titled Integrating Web Apps with Office 365, I co-presented with Doreen Brown from Microsoft. In this session, we give you an overview of how to build web apps with Office 365. It doesn't focus on the Android part so much, but it does give you the context of the other pieces of the Property Manager code sample. In the iOS and Android apps with Office 365 session, you will find a whole bunch of information regarding how to start from scratch with iOS, Android, and Cordova, and how to build applications in those technologies that allow you to authenticate and invoke Office 365 services. There is a good amount of overlap in this session that I'm recording right now with the one that we recorded at Build, you see listed at the bottom of the screen here. If you wish to learn more about Office 365 development, please check out the Office 365 Patterns and Practices. Here you will find many different Visual Studio projects and code samples that show you how to do all kinds of things in Office 365. Go to dev.office.com to sign up for a developer account. This will allow you to create applications on Office 365. Check out the API sandbox so you can explore the APIs and learn about how they work and what you can do with them. And also check out the training that you can get in dev.office.com/training. There are many more training videos such as this one, which walk you through samples and show you how to build things in Office 365. We welcome your feedback on the property inspection code sample, as well as this training video. Please feel free to speak out in the Office 365 network and join into conversations there about this sample and many others. If you have suggestions on what you'd like to see in future versions of the technology in general, or in terms of the training and code samples, go to User Voice and let your voice be known. Tell us what you're looking for. Finally, you can also head over to Stack Overflow to talk with other developers worldwide about questions regarding Office 365 development. I hope you learned a lot from this training series about Android and how you can create Android apps that integrate with Office 365. Thanks for your time today. Have a good one.